Welcome to Heidelberg Meditations on this Wednesday of the sixth week in the year of our Lord 2022, as we consider question 17 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Having confessed in question 16 why our Redeemer must be a true and righteous man, we now look to question 17 and ask, why must he also be true God? And we answer, that by the power of his Godhead he might bear in his manhood the burden of God's wrath, and so obtain for us and restore to us righteousness and life. As we pointed out last time, because Jesus was a true and righteous man, he was and is the only one who could offer himself as a sacrifice for others and propitiate the wrath of God on our behalf. But when we think about this for a moment, we realize that if Jesus were only a man, true and righteous though he was, the severity of the wrath of God would consume him. For as we find in Nahum 1 verse 6, who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. And that consuming fire, that judgment of God against us, is not simply allayed by the sacrifice of Jesus. It is poured out fully and completely on him instead of on us. Jesus took the full weight of God's indignation, God's anger and wrath, and he bore it in his body on the cross. And there as he hung, as he bled, and as he ultimately died, Jesus took the full punishment for all our sins, all the sins of all God's people. Judgment was not set aside. Judgment was poured out in full. But as true God, Jesus did more than just bear the burden of God's wrath. In offering himself as a sacrifice, he obtained righteousness and life for us, that we might be restored before our holy God. As one of the most well-known verses of Scripture tells us, John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And as Isaiah prophesied in chapter 53, the chastisement that fell upon Jesus brought peace to his people. The wounds that Christ suffered unto death brought us peace. And having borne our iniquities, the righteous one, the servant of God who was truly God, made many to be accounted righteous. Paul picks up this thread in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This glorious news of righteousness is, as we confess, a restoration. For in question and answer 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we recognize that God initially created man in righteousness and true holiness to live with him forever in eternal blessedness. But because of the fall, because of the disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, we and all humankind were plunged into corruption, sin, and misery. Thus, what Jesus does in part is restore that which was once the goodness of God's creation, to restore the righteousness lost in the garden, to undo death and such that we who trust in his name might know we will indeed live with our God in eternal blessedness. Only God could do such a thing. Man did not, and man could not. But praise be to God, Jesus Christ is true God. He is eternal, as he told his Jewish audience in John chapter 8, "Before Abraham was, I am," claiming that divine name of the Old Covenant, Yahweh, the I am that I am, revealed to Moses at the burning bush. Jesus is one with the Father, as he pointed out in John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is eternal. Jesus was and is and ever will be God. And in Jesus Christ alone is life and righteousness and restoration. It is vital for believers to hold fast to and confess this fundamental truth. Jesus Christ was truly man and truly God. And because of that, he is truly able to save to the uttermost, giving his own righteousness in place of our sin, that we might be restored to fellowship with Almighty God and rejoice in the promise of everlasting life. To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory. Amen.